We are live.
We're here.
Live in Youngstown Studio for the second show. And we're really honored today to have a special guest, Maple Turner III.
Welcome, Maple. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Good day.
Yeah, I like to say that, you know, we have so many great, talented artists in this area. And I think it's important to say that they're not Youngstown artists. They're especially with Maple. Maple's an international artist who we're lucky is from Youngstown, lives in Youngstown. So it's a really great honor to have you here, Maple. We're doing the show October 15th at the building. So really excited about that.
Right.
And one things that, on the show, we're going to be talking a lot about the whole project, the active transportation trails, and not only having active transportation trails through the region, but also having cultural and historic interpretation along with the trail. And so Maple was nice enough to do some original Underground Railroad drawings for the project. And so those are hanging up in the Knox building right now. The show we're doing on October 15th, people will get to see them at that. But hopefully eventually, once the trail gets built, we'll be able to reproduce them and have them along the trail. So thank you again for doing those.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I know they're the most nice looking shoes I've ever seen. Man. Those are the best.
Thank you. They came from Italy.
Did you? Mm-hmm. All right, nice.
Maple's got a great sense of style.
Yes.
One of my favorite, when I first got to know Maple, remember the McDonough, the reunion at the McDonough? And Maple came, what were you wearing that night? The powder blue tuxedo, I think, that night? And handing out carnations to the ladies. And Maple always is amazing to have. And it's great that you're hosting this event at the building.
I'm excited about it. This makes the 8th time I have been presented at the Knox Building through Jacob. He is the only one in the Youngstown area that can accommodate the art. Through Dr. Zone, I remember over the years before I went to New York, he watched my career, and Professor Albright was my mentor. So when I came home, and Dr. Zona says, well, Maple, I would like you to have a showing here. I said, well, Dr. Zona, I have 20,000 pieces of art plus. And he says, Maple, in our inventory, we have 20,000. I said, well, then I thought about it. I said, well, Dr. Zona, after the artwork came from Paris and New York City, I have 195,000 pieces of art. And due to my death, different colleges, some will get 10,000 pieces, some will get 20,000 pieces. The butler, I love the butler. I am the first artist coming out YSU that ever was able to go to Parsons School of Design. And that was in 1999. It took me 9 years to get in there. Dr. Zona wrote me letters, Professor Albright, Susan Russo, and Dr. Beverly Gray, who has passed away. She was a professor at Youngstown University. Now, when I did go to fashion, not art, and so I sent some artwork and costume designs, so that I had to do a home exam. And I remember I had applied at NYU, Columbia, Pratt, FIT, and then it was, a couple more that I had applied at. But for some reason, I didn't get a response. And then when I did get to respond, it was like rejection letters. But then Professor Bright told me, he said, Maple, where do you really want to go? I had got accepted at Ohio University, but I didn't want to go to Ohio University. And for 9 years, I kept on applying at Parsons. So Professor Bright says, he's deceased now. He says, where is your faith at? We're going to cast the net out. We're going to see what we're going to catch. Well, finally, the letter came from Parsons School of Design. I saw the letter and I threw it on the floor. Then I picked it up and I threw it on the couch. Then I threw it back on the floor. Then I picked up, opened the letter, and it says, welcome to Parsons School of Design. Nice. I kept on hollering and whatever. And I ran up to the university. I said, Professor Bright. And I says, I'm going to get into the master program. But what happened, they send the portfolio to the School of Fashion. Parsons is a part of the new school. Mm-hmm. There's only one other young man that came out of the new school, Parsons School of Design, is Miss Michelle Lepore Hagen and Bob Hagen's son.
Yeah, Jimmy. And,
oh my God, he's the second one. And then what happened, I ended up going there, but I didn't realize that they sent a letter in saying that I had to put $20,000 up front. Mm. And that was not for the tuition. The application fee was $400. My sister, Bernelda Turner, she put the $20,000 up. So when I got there, I said, oh, I'm here at Parsons and this and that. And so what happened, they said, well, you still have to have money for the 2 years you're going to be here. The 2 years? Well, how much more you need? And I was saying, but the $20,000 paid up front, they said that it's not the tuition money.
Oh, just so, like the application fee or something.
Right, yeah. The $20,000. So what happened, I had to go through Chase Bank. Mm. And this is the key that I learned. I needed $165,000 for the 2 years. So when I did the telephone interview, you have to have equity, you have to have a home, you have to have money to back up that $165,000. But I asked them for $185,000. They asked me, well, I said, well, I own my own home. They said, what do you feel is the value of your home? I said, the value of my home is worth $800,000. And I said, and I own antiques and I own, and they said, how much is the value of antiques? It's $200,000. And I'm accustomed to living a certain way. Well, I do not own the $800,000 home.
Hopefully
and
you're past the statute of limitations on this.
And so they said, what do you feel the value? Not how much my little home cost, because it was across the street from my parents. And it's a split little ranch home. So anyway, so I waited and I waited. They said, Mr. Turner, we can't give you what you really want, but we can give you the $165,000. We will electronically put it in your account. And I said, this is Monte Cristo time right here, the Count of Monte Cristo. So what happened, being persistent, and I went from fashion the first semester. It did not work out. I left fashion. I went into the art department, and I'll never forget, I ended up one semester, I did 65 paintings. And in this class, the professor says, well, since you did 65 paintings, you have to go to different galleries, see if you can get in. That's how Parsons do. They send you out in the workforce. It doesn't matter, marketing, fashion, children illustration. I took children illustration also, and I do what they call little dummy books that I know that they're going to be on the market. But to make the scenario short, I went on 125th and there was a gallery. The name of the gallery was Enchanted Harlem. Mm. And so the other, in Soho, all the galleries turned me down. But this lady, her name was Aziza, she gave me the opportunity to be part of her gallery because she had other artists. So I'll never forget as long as I live, this gentleman, Professor Pasquale, he told the students, oh, Maple won't get a dime for those paintings. So what happened, all of a sudden my paintings start selling. Mm. And I was the talk of the school. And because I was persistent, I ended up in Parsons International Catalog. Oh, it goes all over the world. I was so excited that I had got into the catalog. And so when I came home, before I came home, Dr. Zona called my mother, who's deceased, Doris Jean Grant Turner. Her people was from Georgia, Southern, and my father, all his people from Huntsville, Alabama. He came to Youngstown when he was 13. His father migrated from Huntsville, Alabama.
He worked in the mills, too, right? And you worked in the mills,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I worked in the mills, too. I was a pipe inspector for 11 years, and I worked for Sheeton, too. And I'll never forget. Here, I came out of high school, out of East High, went to Lincoln School Elementary in East High, and I ended up becoming a pipe inspector. Now, that was many, many years ago, and my services ended in 1983. At that time, I was making $35,000. Here, I was a very young man making that type of money. And
then the mills closed on
me. And the mills closed down on me. And so here, I'm unemployed, receiving unemployment. And I was watching television one day and I saw the theater department at Youngstown University. And this professor, PhD, I saw Dr. Hennis, one of the PhDs.
In the theater program?
In the theater program.
Well, you told me about your audition.
Yes. I'll never forget my audition. Here, I used to have a little theater, home theater in my home, and I would make tickets and invite people. And so anyway, since I was unemployed, Shylockson Taylor, who was part of the Playhouse there on the South Side, he made my father Taylor Married Suits, my uncle Harvey Turner, Taylor Married Suits. And I went to Mr. Shylockson and I said, Mr. Shylockson, I'm going to apply for this theater scholarship. This is the first time. They have one for a woman, one for a man. And the woman that won for the women was Rosemary Ruckus. And so I ended up wearing a powder blue Louis XV costume, went up to this audition. Nobody had a costume on. And so it was at the Spotlight Theater. And Jane Schamburger, she was on the panel. Dr. Dennis Henneman was on the panel, and Dr. Owens, and I'll never forget this audition. I hid behind these black drapes, and I start singing in French, and I was singing, I have two loves, Paris, my country, America. And I stepped out. It was the Spotlight Theater. The Spotlight Theater is still there in Bliss Hall, and they put the spotlight on me, and I'm singing in French. So I did the Josephine Baker story. Now, they had three categories. You could dance, you could sing, you can act. Well, the second song was by U.B. Blake, 1925. If you ain't never been loved by a brown skin baby, you ain't never been loved at all. I did the Charleston for them. I did the shimmy. And then I did the Elephant Man, and I had already did the Josephine Baker, her life story. And so I'm known to put my artwork in big garbage bags. So I dragged three big garbage bags with my artwork, my costume design. So Jane Schamburger, who was the costume professor at YSU, she retired. So she was sitting in this round circle, Dr. Dennis Henneman, Dr. Owens, and Dr. Dennis Henneman, and they looked at the artwork. Now, audition is really maybe about 15, 20 minutes. Well, I was there 3 hours, and they kept on looking. They were so amazed, and I won the first theater scholarship at YSU, and after that, I won 13 scholarships after that. So
that's awesome. I watching last week's episode, I said the word quintessential too much, but we'll use it again. A quintessential Youngstown. You went from working in the mills to having such a cultural impact, going into YSU and then on to Parsons, and now – you know, an internationally respected artist still doing stuff here in Youngstown. What's more quintessential Youngstown between the mills and culture? And you embody that, Maple. And it's just an honor to know you. And you mentioned Dr. Bright and Dr. Zona going to bat for you. I mean, yes. Talking about people who are international. They may be in Youngstown, but are international. And that's Dr. Zona and rest in peace, Dr. Al Bright, that you personally had them as mentors. And it was an honor doing the show we did in 2019. It was an honor to host you for that. But on top of that, having Dr. Zona come down to the building and having Dr. Zona walk around my building, walk around the Knox building, and he seemed impressed with it. The Butler Art is an American institution. We're lucky it's in Youngstown, but it's not some kind of, like you said earlier, it's not a local mom and pop, you know, and for him to come down and and he wouldn't have done that for many other artists, you know, and the fact that he came down for you and that was great. And I guess we'll be coming back on October 15th for the show too, right?
And he also wrote me a letter, and Professor Albright and Dr. Beverly Gray, a letter to get in City College. I received my master. I got in City College 2003, 2005. I graduated, and I am the second one that came out of City College. There's a doctor in Boardman. He was the first to come out of City College, so I was the second. And what's so peculiar about that degree. When I applied, they were looking for April Turner. They was looking for this white woman. And I showed up with this big black beard and this big felt hat and this long black double breast cashmere coat. And Michi Otami, she was my advisor, and she was looking at me and she said, "Ooh, this woman got a beard on her face. Oh my God." She was just looking at his shoes and stuff and whatever. So anyway, they was going to put me out the first semester because they made a mistake, because they had a lot of Asian students. They had students from actually came from China, Japan, Korea. They had maybe two European students, Caucasian students. It was only three. And the African Americans, when I got there in the program, there was only two, but they graduated before me. But then they said, we made a mistake. We're going to put him out after this this semester, because they only went by the slides. So the first semester, they had seven studio rooms empty. And I says, well, who have these rooms? Well, the students haven't came yet. Can I use these rooms? They said, of course, if you want to use them. Well, this is what happened. I did 3 years of body of work, graduate work. I followed the whole catalog. I filled up seven rooms in the hallway. They came, the review board. They stayed about 4 hours to look at all this, just massive and massive art. And they were saying, and then I did ceramics that semester, is these African fetishes, and thousands and thousands, put thousands and thousands of holes and nails in these fetuses, and
the sculptures you have.
All the sculptures.
Which you were very generous and gave me two of those busts and with the nails, and a lot of African art uses. You saw the mask, and then you saw the other statue too with the nails.
Yep.
In African art, it's like a source of power, correct?
Right.
Like having the nails.
And it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. And one of the PhDs, he was an honorary African chief. He had African studies. He brought these people, came in, they had the whatever, and they was chanting and they was anointing these things. Mm-hmm. But they had these gigantic windows in the ceramic room. And I remember my ceramics professor, Professor Sylvia, God bless her. They opened these generic windows. And one evening she was in the office, and as the wind would go through, came in, I had actually, I love to do things, 65 pieces. These things were sitting on the table, and the wind went through all these little holes, and it said, and she screamed, ah, they're alive. And she ran out of the, she snatched her purse. Oh my God, they're alive. She was, and it was just unbelievable. And then I would be, and then I had a one sculpture piece. It was so evil looking, and I would, you know, you have to fire them first, and then you put the underglaze and overglaze. And this one particular piece, I had these big mittens, and I would push the thing open, and I would go around the kilt, and I kept on chanting, and I was saying, abande, woo, abande, woo, abande. And then what happened? This thing came out, it scared me. And I said, your name is Juju. That means evil. Well, this professor from New Orleans, PhD, he loved it. He gave me $1,800 cash for it. Oh, yeah. I got his rent money. He said, I must have this. And then...
Does he still have it? How's he doing it? It's not possessed, is it?
He has it in his brownstone. And then he bought a lot of art off of me and everything. And I will never forget that semester. Each semester, and God knows, my uncle brought a semi-truck up. Each semester, I did 3 years of work. And then once the students came, they had me put the work in the basement. And it was piles and piles and piles. And one professor, my painting professor, I was a painting major, but she wanted me to do the silk screens, do prints. And what I'll do silk screens, and then I'll go back in the silk screen with oil paint or curl it or watercolor, and it becomes a painting. And but the only thing about that, it was very, very interesting, but she always would save me for last and take up all this time with the graduate students. And I said, I need help. She said, you don't need no help. And this one professor, I worked with a lot of scraps also. When I first came to City College, my money hadn't came in, and Professor Colin Chase, a sculpture professor. I don't know if he's still at City College. He might be retired. I said, well, my money didn't come in. He said, this is not high school. You're on a graduate level. I said, well, my money didn't come in. He said, go to Soho and get the scraps out of the dumpster. You graduate a Parsons. See, Parsons show you how to work with all kind of materials. So I went to Soho and I drag all kind of stuff to the, you know, the studio, and I drag burlap, scraps of paper. I mean, it was unbelievable.
We and also, then, didn't you paint with Jell-O and catch my
Yes.
You had to go to the post office to get paper?
I had to go to the post office. That's right. I went to the post office because Dr. Zona spoke about that. They wrote an article about it. I went to the post office and that paper is sturdy. And I opened it up and I went to the cafeteria at City College. I didn't have any money. So the students that would throw the Jell-O away, I would gather the different Jell-O, the orange, the red, the yellow, the mustard packs, the Asian restaurant, they would give you soy packs. And what I did a collection, and the Harlem Y had threw out some black paint and white paint by the gallons, and I dragged that to the studio at City College, and I began to create. I did a series of 40 Jell-O paintings. I call it Jell-O. And the professors thought that it was watercolor. So I did all these people in Harlem, and they was looking at it. And when they saw it was Jell-O, they said, oh my God, Jell-O. And then I have learned over the years, when you don't have money for paint, just take fingernail polish. You work with that. I did costume designs at YSU when my money was very scarce. I took my mother fingernail polish and I did Cleopatra and Mark Anthony. I did a whole series of costume design. So I was a dual major at Youngstown University, but City College, then the money came in and I started working on canvas. But I had to go back to my scraps, because the canvas is all right. It's beautiful. But to be creative, to find things, and I would cut out birds. I would find all kinds of paper and everything. And this professor name was Michi Otami. She was like a mentor to me. And if you Google her on Facebook, her extraordinary career will come up. And I had the opportunity to meet up with a lot of famous people. I've received a lot of invitations. I remember there in New York, I got a chance to meet Chuck Close, Faith Ringo.
He just passed away too, didn't he?
Yes. And there's different artists that I met along the way. But what I'm saying is that if you have blind faith, and I had to borrow great deals of money to survive in New York. I lived there 10 years, and I lived in Paris, France for a year. And when I crossed over to France, it was for the fashion, but I did not have the connections, so I had to come back. When Professor Jim Lepore was a professor, is my drawing professor, and his daughter is the icon. And he,
Lepore,
yes, and he,
when she
won,
came to your Gilded Age show, it was
honor that she came there, because his Professor Lepore wanted me to go to New York and work with his daughter. But my parents at that time, they were scared that somebody was going to kill me. I said, I missed it. Nobody was going to kill me, and this and that. And they don't know you. I said, no. She's a fashion designer. And because I also would do fashion drawing. See, the thing was to go from costume design to fashion. And only at the end of the last three semesters at Parsons, I ended up creating a collection where I don't have any regret. But then the art, I ended up being pulled back into the art department. And if I had not been pulled back in the art department, I would have never got in the international catalog. It goes all over the world. They don't have that catalog anymore, but I have.
You have copies.
I have a lot of copies.
If we have
copies
time to talk about, I think we only have about like 5 minutes left in the show, but you were in New York for 9/11, that 9/11 piece. That,
yeah.
You have, which is a giant 16 feet tall piece. But I mean, pretty much all of your work belongs in a museum, really. That's why I'm honored this. You showed it at my building, because it really belongs in the museum. But that piece, I think, more now, like that really, that belongs in like the 9/11 memorial in New York, because you were in
right.
New York
it
for
was
9/11.
So sad.
Yeah.
And I used to work for American Express. Oh, yeah. American Express is here at 9/11 when it happened. And I was working as assistant executive pastry chef, and I lost my job. And I created that, as you were saying, that the extraordinary piece, and it brings memory, and it's such an honor that you is going to hang that one more time for the public to see it. It is a blessing, and you don't have to go to New York to see art in the galleries in New York. You can come to the Knox Building, and Jacob have helped so many artists along the way, and I feel so humble and so honored because he's really the only one that can hold those pieces. They're so massive, and
well, it's really an honor to host you there, and many of the other great artists in this area. Like, we're so blessed as a community. Like we talked about last week on the show, is that Youngstown was never a ghost town, you know, and even right. in the hardest days downtown, when there didn't seem like much going on, there was still an artist community that kept things going. And there's so many talented artists around here. And it really is such an honor just to know you personally.
Well, I'm very humble that you let me do that for you, because he's the only one in the valley can hold those pieces. Now, the Butler getting ready to build this big, gigantic area for the large pieces. I must get the measurements. It might take me. It's gonna take me 2 years to do the piece, and I will. It's gonna go from ceiling to floor, and then he'll let me probably have 3 rooms upstairs. But I said, "Well, Dr. Tone, can't you take the permanent collection down and hang my 20,000 pieces and hang it like a Parisian salon?" And he'd laugh. But he will be there, Dr. Zona and Mr. Mark Lee.
Markley Pringle, he's
awesome. My God, he is awesome.
So when we did the 2019, so Maple's not only prolific in terms of the number of the pieces he does, but also in the style. So African art, Asian art, American art. And so in 2019, the show we did, we called it Maple Turn Third Cultures. Mm-hmm. And we had the art of the different cultures, but also live performances go along with it. Markley Pringle does like Tai Chi inspired Asian dance. He does it all over. He goes up to Cleveland quite a bit. So he performed at it. The Harambee Dancers performed in 2019. Mm-hmm. Markley Pringle's coming back for the show we're doing October 15th. But yeah, Mark's really great.
It's yeah, because he's international. If you look on Facebook, his career is beyond. It's just an honor that he's going to grace us, and he's going to bring the dragon, and it is going to be an evening of culture. But the Jacob is the main speaker. I am so humble and so honored that this young man, I said, Jacob, do it while you're young. And I'm old now, but you're only old as you feel. Because of Jacob, this is my last big showing. If I ever give another showing somewhere else, maybe 24 little small pieces. Not this skyscraper, because I need a lift to get up because I had two massive strokes a year ago, and I'm a survivor of that. And this young man, by going through the inventory and editing, is so much work, it's mind-blowing. But I am so thankful that these different colleges, they're going to accept that work. Because what happens to a lot of artists, we all this work over the years, family probably got boatloads, other people, and then if you don't have a will, it ends up in the dumpster. I don't care how famous you are, or it ends up in a flea market or nickels and dimes, and is unbelievable. But God is good. I call him I am that I am. But I just have to say, Jacob, it is an honor. I said, Jacob, do it while you're young, because I can't climb scaffolds anymore. Because in City College, I was able to climb scaffolds. And, oh, I was young then. But now, oh, no. I'm like, yes. Okay. Well, how does that look on the wall? Oh, even if it don't look wonderful. Oh, it looked wonderful. I'm not getting up there. Because if you complain, you know, oh, no, I don't. I said, oh, yes. Whatever way these young people do, I respect that.
Well, that was fun. We hung the 2014 show. We did Erie Terminal, which was at Kitchen Post. And shout out to Daniel Rauschenbach and the Soap Gallery, because he's always like helped us hang these shows. But that was a lot of fun.
God, we
were on the scaffolding. I remember me and Daniel were up there, and those really tall ceilings in there, and Maple's there. And we had a lot of fun. I mean, we always do have a lot of fun hanging the shows. And it's a lot of work, but it's always worth it. And I can't wait to do the show on October 15th. And thank you, Joe, once again for letting us have the show and to have Maple on.
It's an honor, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Love having you here. All right.
Thank you. I'll see everybody next week. Thank you, Maple. This is great.
You.